we're on the phone with Amy Yerstadt from the League of Women Voters, and we were just talking before we went on the air. And you just told me a really interesting, we were talking about board games, and we were talking about Monopoly. And you told me the backstory about Monopoly. That's great.
Yeah, yeah. It was actually created by a woman back in the early 1900s to show some of the her frustrations with capitalism and wanted to teach people about it. But, yeah, over the course of time, it got the idea was taken up by another person, a man, and he was able to
capitalize,
I guess, sell the right. But I don't. Yeah, but I don't think he actually even got much money for it either. Neither person got rich off of this. I think the game company actually was the, at the end of the day, they were the ones that got the money. But yeah, super interesting. Normal people, everyday people can make, you know, cool games to teach people about, you know, issues they care about.
That's cool. So here we are, and we're at the end of the month. We've had the changing of the guard at the federal level. We have a new president who got inaugurated last week, and I know there's a lot of concern, and there's been a lot that's happened over the month that maybe I don't know if we want to go into or not, but it seemed like for the most part it went by pretty peaceful, and now we're into the Joe Biden administration.
Yeah, it's I guess peaceful is a relative word. What happened with the insurrection on January 6th is certainly concerning. The league and other organizations are advocating and encouraging that the impeachment process goes through because, you know, the president broke the law and he did not follow his oath of office protecting the Constitution by leading an insurrection. So there is that, but the actual day, January 20th, was very peaceful. And
I guess that's what
we didn't have any more problems.
And that's what I meant. I wasn't saying that the insurrection was horrible, and it was I would say as an American pretty embarrassing to see that.
Yeah. You can only imagine that other countries are looking at us, and especially those that have human rights violations, and that we are, you know, saying, you know, you all need democracy. This is the way to go. And then we turn around and have this problem. It certainly does take some of our credibility away. Especially when we look at China and how they treat the people in Hong Kong, and it's just like there's a lot of issues happening, right? We have a lot as a country to work on in all parts of our country. So
it seems like,
and then of course you have the pandemic.
Yeah, I was going to say it seems like there's just a big wound on America that really needs to some time to heal and just kind of because it just I'm just turned 56 over the weekend and
happy birthday.
Oh, thanks. I didn't say that for you to say happy birthday, but I'm just saying, you know, in all my years and stuff, it's like, you know, I've seen, you know, I mean, people have conflicts, people disagree, and that's part of what makes America great is that we can disagree, but at the end of the day, we're all still Americans, you know, and you might not agree with my political leanings, and I might not agree with you, but at the end of the day, we all have the same common thing that, you know, let's put our differences aside for the betterment of America.
Yeah, and it does. We live in a hyper-partisan time right now where I think that traditional politicking and compromise it seems that it's getting harder and harder to do that these days. People are not listening to one another, it seems. In the league, we have, at the national level, we have partnerships with, like, National Civic Discourse. I probably have that title wrong. But we're constantly trying to learn how to, you know, work with all people with different backgrounds, different, you know, left, right, center, and try to come, you know, like, what is listening? Like, what is truly active listening? How can we really learn from one another, understand where our, you know, what our interests are and our needs are, and so that we can create better solutions together. And so it's, you know, I think that more of these in every single community, talking with people who, you know, don't have the same ideas as you have and then really listening to them so that we can all, you know, live in these communities peacefully. I think there's a lot of work there that we all could be working on.
I agree. And I didn't want to get off on a tangent and everything. I know we got a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You guys are really busy and everything. It's a new year and a lot of activities. You're pretty excited. You said you got like 4 events coming up here pretty soon.
Yeah. We have, in addition to like our normal advocacy stuff and then also, you know, watching civic meetings. We've been really great about watching the school board meetings, the county commission meetings, the city commission meetings, Cloverland board meetings. And then we did, last time we were on air, we talked about how we're creating that directory, and we are just about done. And we actually even had some help from regional planning. They sent us one. Actually, even haven't had any chance to look at theirs yet. But we have so many great resources in our community, great organizations that are all doing wonderful work. So thanks to them for at least for reaching out. They actually heard me on this show and said, hey, we can actually help you. Yeah. So thanks for that.
Cool.
I know. I was like, that's so cool. So in addition to all of the just watching government and action, the other work that we're doing. So this Friday, we actually are kind of doing an informal, I guess you could almost call it like a, it's like a teach-in, sort of like a Zoom teach-in. So we as league members want to learn more about the lame duck as a state. So all league members across the state and each of their communities are coming together at various times to learn about what a lame duck legislative session is. Is this good for voters? Is this a like opportunism by, you know, outgoing organize, you know, party members? We don't know as just regular normal people. Enough to have a position, it sounds like. And so the league across the state is now studying this so that we can become more informed, create a position for the entire state. That way our state leaders in the league can go and advocate for reform if we need any reform. So this Friday we're going to, with a PowerPoint on Zoom, talk about what a legislative lame duck session is, what it means, you know, pros and cons, and then we will vote and try to come up with some sort of consensus for the Eastern Upper Peninsula. That information will be sent to the state along with all the leagues across the state of Michigan, where they'll combine our voices to create a position. So it's really neat because this is like, it's kind of like democracy in action when it comes to advocacy. So if anybody is interested in that, check out our website or Facebook page. We have an event in both areas with the Zoom link. And so you can join that if you're interested in what a legislative lame duck session is and what the pros and cons are. If you just want to jump in that discussion. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I just saw something because they were talking about the presidential lame duck session recently.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw where that term actually came from. And I can't remember where, you know, how they came up with the name lame duck session, but now I can't remember what it was. I'm sitting here racking my brains trying to think, but it was kind of an interesting little story about, you know, something from, you know, from the, you know, when we were still part of England or whatever and something like that. It was pretty interesting. So I guess if you can go on Google and look it up and everything,
it was kind of
neat to understand where that term came from. So.
Yeah. Plus we could add that to our fire discussion. That would be cool. Yeah. I have to check that one out.
Okay.
Okay. So that is this Friday at noon, legislative lame duck. And then fast forward on, we have our normal league meeting. If anybody wants to join, that's going to be February 12th at 6:30 PM. Also on Zoom. And then the next actual event is coming up. We're reincorporating our Lunch and Learn series with a specific focus on some of these, which will be called Lunch and Learn Women Lead. And so February 26th, also a Friday at noon, we're going to have Dr. Schaefer O'Connell speak to our community about women running for office. So there's been many books and research written about women running for office and some of the unique hurdles they face compared to their counterparts.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's going to talk about some of that research. There's a specific book by Jennifer Lawless, and she wrote about, you know, often women aren't asked to run as opposed to men are asked. And so, like, just these things in our culture that make it actually harder for women, you know, childcare issues. Oftentimes women are saddled more with childcare issues. So a variety of different things. So Dr. Schaefer O'Connell will talk with us. These lunch and learn sessions are just barely an hour, if that. It might be less. So they really are an opportunity just to kind of deep dive real quick while you're eating your lunch at your desk to learn more about, you know, civic issues. So that one, that one's about women running for office and looking at some of the research.
And are there any charges for those, or are they just free?
No, all of this is free.
Okay.
Yep. No, it's all it's our way of just, you know, trying to come together and offer new information for the community and really trying to, like, my specific goal with the Women Lead Lunch and Learn series is we don't have very many women serving in office in the Eastern Upper Peninsula. After doing that directory of all of our elected leaders from the township and school board all the way to the county commission. And even if you think about our U.S. rep and state representatives, we just don't have as many women running, not even serving, but even running for office.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was, you know, we'll hear more about it from Dr. Schaefer O'Connell, but, you know, some of this might be just that we as women aren't feeling confident to run or mm-hmm. not being asked, or maybe there's not enough supports. And so I thought maybe if I could just offer a few of these Lunch and Learn series for women that might be sitting on the fence, or maybe they've never even considered themselves as being a leader in the community, to kind of give them resources and new information. Maybe they will, or maybe they'll help somebody else run for office because they'll learn a little bit more about it. So that's kind of the goal with it.
Cool.
Yeah. March 12th. I'm really excited about that. Women Lead Lunch and Learn series. We're going to have the mayor of Marquette, and she's a woman. She has young children, or at least a young child, and she's the mayor of Marquette. So I've spoken with her on the phone in the past, and she's just so awesome. And so I asked her, and she's like, I've been wanting to do something like this, so this is great. So she will be joining us on March 12th at noon for that Lunch and Learn series. You can learn about her story, why it was she decided to run for office, how did she run, how was she able to balance being a woman, a mom, doing a campaign, all of that stuff. So join that one. Again, that's noon at March 12th. And then we're going to have we're going to have a ranked choice voting 7 p.m. on March 18th. That's a Thursday night. So this is not a Lunch and Learn. This is just one of the league's very traditional type of forums where we invited a speaker to come and teach us about ranked choice voting. And for all those that don't know, like here, you know, we have, say, if you have a ballot and you have three people who are running for city commission, there might be five or six people who are on the ballot. You pick the three people you want. This could be different, where this would be you be ranking them. And so oftentimes people say that I'm not going to go and vote because my person never gets picked. Well, with ranked choice voting, you actually might have a chance of getting maybe your number two to come in, as opposed to not having anybody you want.
Mm-hmm.
This became a real big issue when the presidential primaries were happening, and there were several people on, and you only get one vote.
Right.
And so people were like, I don't want to vote because my person's not going to make it. Well, if you could rank them, and then maybe your first person won't make it, but your second person might. And so this has shown that it might help actually bring out more people to learn about the candidates and to actually come and vote.
I think that's a great idea, but I'm wondering how would that be more difficult for tabulation, as far as, like, you know, at the polling place, like at the end of the day, like, oh, now we've got to rank all these guys. Is that, I mean, I'm just, you know, devil's advocate. Is that a tougher way to do that? Or?
So it depends. I haven't actually asked our clerk here in the county, or any with Kathy Malport or the city clerk. I do know from my experience in Virginia, this question came up as an election person who works the elections, I was like, wait, we have this machine. Can these machines even do that? And it depends on the voting machine. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes we buy voting machines that can do a variety of different things with your ballots. And so depending on what we invested in the past, our voting machines might actually be able to tabulate those ballots. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to hand count them or anything like that.
Right.
The machine will do it just as it already does. But that would be a question which I am eager to ask when we have our ranked choice voting forum on March 18th. That's the very first question that popped in my head when we decided to go ahead and have this forum.
The fact that you could maybe even remember that question between now and March 18th just impresses me beyond belief.
Oh, no, I totally remember it, because this is my jam. I love election stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
So I mean, and the thing is when you think about it, we as taxpayers have to pay for this equipment, right? So, and we have to we have to think about maintaining it and updating it. And when there's election reforms, like, you know, when we have to be looking down the pike and making those plans. So if our community decides, no, this ranked choice voting stuff seems more, you know, like more people are going to have a say, and maybe our elections will be, you know, whatever, more representative of our community, we need to think about planning for and buying machines if our current machines don't tabulate the information we need them to. So it's,
mm-hmm.
You know, you always have to think long term, like, what does the community want? What will make the outcome better for everybody? And how much is that going to cost in the end?
For sure. We're talking to Amy Erstad mm-hmm. from the League of Women Voters. Sounds like you got a lot on your plate here at the beginning of the new year.
Yeah, yep. It's this is you know, this is the best. Like I love all of doing this stuff. Women led, you know, lunch and learns, these forums. You know, it's just it's so much fun, and I love going to those civic meetings, watching our city commission, county commission in action, and you know, sometimes things are said and you get fired up, and that's good because that means you're living and you're, you know, engaged in this stuff, and mm-hmm. you feel, you know, intimately invested in it. And I, you know, personally, I feel very much invested in it.
Well, so and I think that that's the important thing, because a lot of people don't, you know, they just kind of are on the sidelines, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with being on the sidelines and watching from afar. But I mean, I think that's, it's really important that people understand that they can and should participate. You know, especially, and that's the one thing that always frustrates me, these people that complain. You know, they'll go on Facebook and they'll go on the rants and raves and they'll complain about stuff, but that's all they do is they complain. They don't try to either make a difference, or they don't try to get informed to make, you know, make some changes in the community. It's, you know, sitting on the sideline and complaining is fine, but if you're going to complain all the time, you know, stand up and do something about it.
Right. Well, and I would also add, like, run for office. Like, this is a great time to start thinking about running. If you are frustrated with things, mm-hmm. This is a great time to, like, start getting your kitchen cabinet. That's a political wonky term that we talk about. Like, grabbing your closest people to help, you know, be your advisors, to talk about who, you know, who could I, you know, what would my group be, and how can we grow this group? We're frustrated with this, and we want to make some changes. Like, that's, we are such a special place. Our country is so awesome, and that, you know, you can run for office easily. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of time and a lot of hard work, but you can do it. And so the League is here to help people learn about those issues if you wanted to run for office. The Observer Corps, which is that's our committee where we go and watch these meetings, that's a great place. If you're frustrated, but you're like, I don't exactly know what the issues are, we want to help you. We want to ease you into going to those civic meetings. And as I said in the past, this is a great time to go because they're on Zoom, so you can watch from your phone. Mm-hmm. I literally watched in December as my kids and I, husband's driving the car, kids are looking at Christmas lights at everybody's houses. I'm listening to the city commission meeting. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, you can do this from your car. It's
right.
It's so easy right now. So I highly recommend just learning about those issues, going to your civic meeting, your government meetings, and then considering helping somebody else run for office down the road. You have plenty of time. We don't have any elections happening in 2021 that I'm aware of. And so you have, you know, plenty of time to think about, you know, how would this look? How would you balance your life? We're going to have that Women Lead series. You know, come listen to the mayor of Marquette and find out how she did it. And we'll have some other women leaders who've either who were actually elected or who tried really hard, and you know, they are doing other aspirational things. And so there's other women that you can learn from, and then we'll help continue. If there's other questions, like I want to learn more about campaign finance, how to pay for those elections, how to get your name on the ballot, we're going to bring those to the surface so it's easy for people to learn more about how to run for office.
Amy Eerstedt from the League of Women Voters. Amy, anything else on your agenda? I just had a couple other questions, so I want to make sure you get through all your stuff on your list there.
No, I think my only thing right now, I think, is to make sure people recognize that we, you know, we have a lot still going when it comes to advocacy at the national level. We, in the past, many months ago, I had talked about the We the People Act, really trying to strengthen our electoral system. So that's supposed to be going into the 117th Congress again. So we're asking people to contact Congressman Bergman and ask that he support the We the People Act. We want to make elections. You know, we clearly saw a lot of people having, you know, there's a lot of mistrust out there, and so we want to make sure we strengthen our electoral system. So
absolutely.
Contact Congressman Bergman on that one.
So last year the League celebrated its 100th anniversary of the ratification, and then obviously last year we had our first female vice president elected on the ticket. What's the significance historically of just from your perspective of Kamala Harris being the first female vice president?
I mean, this is incredible. I mean, it's been 100 years, right? And we've had a lot of other women who, you know, they were really trying to break that glass ceiling. And this year, you know, we have our first woman. And, I mean, it's really amazing the power that comes with this. I think, I mean, just like this, you know, I think oftentimes we don't see ourselves in these positions. And this is a wonderful thing to now say, like, you know, young girls now are going to be like, wow, the vice president is a woman. Like, I could do that one day. Maybe mm-hmm. I could be the president. And so I think that this really opens our imagination to and shows people, like, yes, women can lead the government, and that they are leading the government. And so I just, it is amazing. It took 100 years to get here. We still have a ton more work to do.
Right.
But I think as for the League of Women Voters, an organization that really prides itself on developing women to run and to lead and feel confident in their democracy, I think this really was and is an amazing time in our history.
I'm sure that there has been over history, you know, young girls that have said, "Boy, I want to be president one day," and maybe have just, you know, whatever reason they've, you know, hit that, you know, like you said, that glass ceiling and everything, and haven't been able to make it through. And I know, you know, Hillary Clinton came close. She ran. We've had other women that have run but haven't made it through and everything. And I think it's I think it's pretty interesting. I think it's pretty exciting to see, you know, finally see a woman in a position where, I mean, I think I agree with you. I think it's long overdue, and I think it can only mean good things going forward for women and everything, because again, pretty impressive that, you know, it took as long as it did,
mm-hmm.
but you know, for it to finally happen, I guess it's good.
Yeah, no, it is, and I'm really eager to see how the Biden administration fills that cabinet, because this goes along with the same thing with Kamala Harris being vice president. You know, putting people in cabinet positions and people who have not historically been in those cabinet positions, I think is also it's really impressive for, you know, young kids, you know, college students. When I'm teaching class, to say, you know, the first African American is the Department of Defense, like, that's incredible. Like, we just haven't had
it. Why did it take that long?
I was looking at some statistics, and right now this is the most diverse cabinet we've ever had, even more than, you know, President Obama had, you know, campaigned that he was going to have it. And it was a very diverse cabinet, President Biden has an even more diverse cabinet. And so as leadership, I think at the top, we're getting there, right? We have still more work to do, but we are getting there. We are some of our leaders are recognizing that, you know, America is an incredibly diverse country, and that we need to have leadership that is as diverse as we are.
And then, of course, get all those people in there. And then the new shiny penny isn't as shiny anymore. And it's like, okay, now you got to do the work, right?
Yeah, we have so much work to do. Yeah. We as people, normal everyday people, need to make sure we watch our government, because we are the watchdogs and they are working on our behalf. And so it is never a time to be complacent. We have to continue to do our role as engaged citizens to watch that government and ensure that they're doing the people's work.
When's your event again this Friday, so people know?
Yep. So this Friday, this one is noon, and it is about lame duck session. So it's also part of that Watch and Learn. It's just not the Women Lead series. This is about researching lame duck. And so it's at noon at this Friday. And check out the Zoom link on our Facebook page or website. And the website is lwveup.org. If anybody's interested in joining the league, it's always a great time. And I always say this is the least, you know, the cheapest college education you're ever going to get. So just join us. You don't have to, even if you not ready to actually become a full-fledged member, you can come and volunteer, come and, you know, hop on any of our virtual forums. We'd love to have you. It's a really fun place to learn.
And we always say this, but we should remind people, you don't have to be a woman to be a member of the League of
Women
Voters.
You do not have to be a woman, no. And you can, if anybody is 16, if you're a student, so college student, high school student, you can join the league for free. You can be a full-fledged member, vote on bylaws and things like that for free. So you just have to go to the website, or you can give us an email, and we'll hook you up. It's at lwveup@gmail.com is our email. So anybody who's interested in joining, but particularly young folks, if you this is a great college resume builder, great opportunity and expertise, and you can join for free.
And it's a great way to network with other people, and, you know, and like I say, it's a great education and learn some stuff about, you know, that you'll be able to use the rest of your life as far as you know, civics and things like that about the United States and about your community.
Yeah, and maybe be a little less frustrated, because you'll feel like you have some power over your, you know, over your place in this, you know, crazy network. So
sure.
I love it. I feel like it empowers me to, you know what's going on. And I'm a little bit nosy like that. So other people who are nosy like I am when it comes to government, come join me. It's
for sure. For sure. Amy, we always appreciate talking to you. We'll talk to you again next month. All right.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a good one.
You too. Thank you. Amy Yearset from the League of Women Voters joining us here this morning on 1230 WSOO.